you know, there's some theories on how this exactly works, but they've shown boosts in ATP production by upwards of 100% by using these specific wavelengths.
Welcome to the Muscle Expert Podcast with Ben Pakulski, one of the world's top professional bodybuilders, an expert on human performance and mindset mastery. Ben dives deep to deliver the strategies of the top experts to upgrade your body, mind, muscle, strength, performance, biochemistry, and how to become the upgraded modern man. Join us on BenPakulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.
And just before we get to the episode today, I just want to say a quick thank you to Gasp Clothing for their support of the podcast. I've been a longtime friend of the brand. I've been using and wearing Gasp for well over 10 years. And as you guys all know, the quality is second to none. And I personally really enjoy the clothing, as well as the awesome lifting accessories they have. They've sent me some belts and some straps and some wrist guards and things like that, knee sleeves, that I literally use every time that heavy lifting is the goal. Now, for our U.S. listeners, Gasp has been generous enough to offer a 10% discount. And if you guys know Gasp, they don't offer discounts a lot. So for the listeners of the Muscle Expert Podcast, we have a discount code. Use code BEN10, capital B-E-N, number 10. You can check it out at gaspbb.com. That's G-A-S-P-B-B.com. And as I said, they really offer discounts, which is pretty awesome. I actually love a lot of their clothing. You know, it's actually what I wear to train pretty much all the time. If you're not familiar with their stuff, check out the World Off hoodie. It's pretty sweet. They just brought back a throwback hoodie, which is like a three-quarter length or a quarter length hoodie. Pretty awesome. I always love wearing their long sleeves. Really, really thin and perfect for training. So check out gaspbb.com. Use code BEN10. And now back to the episode.
Hey guys, Ben Pakulski. I've been sent this product recently. I've been using it for about 3 months and I'm absolutely loving it. It's a digestive enzyme specifically formulated to increase proteolytic breakdown. So they have an awesome video demonstration on how it breaks down protein on the next page. If you want to check it out, I highly suggest you do that. It's called Masszymes by Optimizers. Actually, a great friend of mine owns the company. They're based out of Canada. They did a ton of research into optimizing protein digestion. So guys like me and you are eating tons of protein in our diet, but really how much are you actually digesting and absorbing? It's never about what you eat, it's what you absorb. So I've been taking these for, like I said, about 3 months now. I notice I have much less bloating. I'm still eating like a good 12 ounces of meat every meal, which is a lot. But I don't eat a lot of meals anymore. I eat like 3 to 4 meals a day. So my amounts have gone up and I finally get no bloating, no indigestion, no gas. And I really feel awesome. It's a really, really great product, a really wide spectrum of digestive enzymes. Another thing I've been doing lately on his recommendation is actually taking it between meals to decrease inflammation. So excess protein can sometimes leak into the bloodstream and attach onto joints and cause kind of inflammatory joints and joint pain. So by taking 2 or 3 of them between meals, I'm actually noticing a pretty big difference in the way my joints feel. So you guys can check them out. They've also offered us a 10% discount, which is pretty sweet. So check it out.
Welcome back, boys and girls. Muscle Expert Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Pakulski. And as always, amazing guests, scientists, passionate entrepreneurs, doing some really cool stuff in the realm of biohacking. And a lot of people have a really strange paradigm when it comes to this stuff. And I want these guys to dig deep with me today on the science of light, particularly UV therapy. We're going to learn a lot, and we're going to learn how to biohack your testosterone and build bigger balls. Right, gentlemen?
Exactly.
So we have Justin and Scott from Juve. Man, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so for our listeners, Justin is the head of R&D. He's the creator of Juve. Justin, why don't you tell us a little bit about that journey? But first of all, what is Juve, and how'd you come across it?
Sure. My wife was really the one that first discovered the therapy. She came across it as red light therapy at a salon and really fell in love with it for many different reasons, primarily for the skin health benefits, but also for the deeper healing that she was learning about as far as the different benefits at the cellular level. So she came to me after doing a few months at a salon and really wanted to develop something that we could use in our own home.
She had
already
doing exactly at the salon? Was it like on her face or on her body, or what was she doing?
Sure. It was basically a full body tanning bed that had been converted for red light therapy, specifically in the visible red spectrum. So she had noticed some huge improvements in as far as some stretch marks that she'd had since our first child was born, as well as help with eczema that she'd had.
And she was doing it for how long, you said, sorry?
She was doing it daily as a part of this package for about 20 minutes a day.
For how long?
She did it for several months. Actually, she did 2 month packages. And then I think she did two of those. And at the end of it, it was tough from a time standpoint to get out of the house and drive across town. But she was extremely committed to it, but really was in desperate need of something that she could do at home for the financial implications as well as just the time that was required. So with my engineering background, she came to me and tried to convince me to make her something that she could use at home. And it took a little bit of trial and error, but eventually she convinced me to dig into the science, and I was absolutely floored to find that there are literally hundreds and hundreds of published medical studies on this technology, or the correct term for it is really photobiomodulation.
Yep.
And technically what it is, it's giving your cells specific wavelengths of light that have been proven to boost cellular function, or more specifically mitochondrial function. So the whole host of benefits.
Sure. So I want to dig right there, man, because I know my audience would be very curious as to the science, as am I. So I've been studying mitochondria pretty extensively in the last 6 months, and getting into the emission of photons and how this is being influenced. Does the research give us a really good indication?
Yeah, there's some great theories right now, I guess would be the best way to describe it.
But it's theories,
well,
right?
Yeah. It's pretty well documented, though. So part of the fourth phase of cellular respiration involves an enzyme called cytochrome C oxidase, or CCO.
Yep.
And what they've discovered is there are certain ranges of wavelengths that have the most effect on boosting that function. And the result is you get a impressive boost in ATP production and basically all cellular functions. So I think as a whole, I know I myself personally, and I think us as a society have really underestimated the power of light in our overall health. Mm-hmm. We've kind of become disconnected, if you will, from sunlight and kind of bought into some of the misconceptions about damages of sunlight and so forth. And I think for those reasons, I think photobiomodulation holds some real promise for a whole host of different benefits, including, some of those I think your audience would be interested in is in terms of optimizing their health and, physical fitness.
Yeah. And Ben, just to add a little bit more to that the specific wavelength of light is very important when it comes to photobiomodulation.
Right.
And Justin mentioned during that fourth phase of cellular respiration, that enzyme cytochrome C oxidase, when our cells are under stress, nitric oxide actually binds with that important enzyme. And so that basically halts the production of ATP. And so it inhibits normal cellular function. Mm-hmm. And so what red and near infrared light with specific wavelengths and at the right intensity, it actually breaks that bond between nitric oxide and cytochrome C oxidase, freeing up the cells to actually perform their normal functions at in some cases a heightened level. And so that's kind of that's the core theory, as Justin mentioned. There's several others in terms of shifting cellular redox, enhancing gene transcription at a cellular level, but it gets pretty technical. But that I guess that's important when it comes to photobiomodulation, is those specific wavelengths of light and making sure that you're getting those.
Great, man. So speaking maybe to Justin, what is the cause? Why would your body start producing nitric oxide, which is going to attach to the cytochrome C oxidase? Why is that happening? Like your body's doing it for a reason. Why is your body stopping that enzymatic production of ATP to begin with? And then why are we looking to modulate it? Obviously, we know why, but why is it doing it?
Sure. I think some of it comes down to just a lack of a light that our bodies are really designed to get from sunlight. And as we starve that part of our body, we're used to focusing so much on nutrition and getting our bodies the right nutrition from food and supplements that we miss kind of the third leg, if you will, of that that cellular function of
so
really
just
getting
an efficiency, really, like your body becomes inefficient.
It's
really,
it's a critical part. I mean, it's interesting. There's there's some theories on how this exactly works, but they've shown boosts in ATP production by upwards of 100% by using these specific wavelengths. And just to kind of back out a little bit in terms of wavelengths, not to get overly technical, but sunlight obviously has a broad range of wavelengths, mm-hmm. In the UV spectrum up to about 400 nanometers. And then the visible light spectrum is between 400 and 700 nanometers.
Yep.
And then up above that is the near infrared spectrum, or infrared overall, which is broken up into three zones. So IRA is between 700 to 1300 nanometers. IRB, which is 1300 to 3000 nanometers, and then IRC, which is the very long wavelengths above 3000 nanometers. Mm-hmm. And each one of these wavelengths have a different function for overall health. The longer wavelengths you would experience outside, for example, under sunlight, you would feel them as radiant heat. And that's because those wavelengths are more quickly absorbed by the moisture in our tissues. Okay. So a good example is if you're laying outside and kind of tanning on a nice hot day and you feel the radiant heat from the sun and then a cloud passes over, you'll notice the visible light doesn't change that much, but that radiant heat that you felt, almost feels like you have a fire close by, on your skin. That you notice it's almost like someone flipped a switch and turned that off. That's mm-hmm. because those longer wavelengths that you feel as radiant heat are actually blocked by the moisture and clouds.
Okay, interesting, man. And what are the specific effects that you would be experiencing from the long wavelengths?
So I think overall health, there's some theories there as well. But I mean, a lot of it would be some of the benefits from the heat. But in terms of the cellular function, really what the focus comes down to is what's referred to as the near infrared window. So wavelengths between roughly 600 nanometers and 900 nanometers. These wavelengths, they aren't quickly absorbed by moisture, so they are able to penetrate human tissue much deeper. And it's in that range that you find the most effective wavelengths in terms of photobiomodulation. So,
and that's, so you wouldn't be getting the heat as much
exactly.
from sunlight. It's just mostly the cellular energetic.
Yeah, and I know, Ben, you personally use a sauna, mm-hmm. and saunas are, I mean, it's a great type of therapy, but mm-hmm. it's just a different therapy mm-hmm. Altogether. It's similar to, taking protein versus glutamine. I mean, different mechanisms of action and how they impact, our bodies. And so heat therapy, sauna heat therapy, via saunas has been well documented in clinical studies to have some pretty amazing benefits, mm-hmm. but the mechanism of action is just different.
Sure.
You're trying to induce heat, raise your core temperature, induce heat within your body, similar, not too dissimilar to cardiovascular exercise. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about here is photobiomodulation, just a different therapy altogether. Both have been pretty proven. I would argue that photobiomodulation is, there's hundreds, if not thousands of clinical studies that, mm-hmm. that have been documented. So just two different types of therapies, but they work differently. And so I think that's probably an important thing for most people that are listening to just, they hear infrared light and they think, we're talking about the same things, but just remember that far infrared light, as Justin mentioned, is working differently on our bodies versus, red and near infrared light, just a little bit different.
Sure. So the far infrared is going to be the longer wavelengths and the near infrared is going to be the shorter wavelengths.
Exactly. And okay. as Scott mentioned on the cytochrome C oxidase, there are specific wavelengths that are have been proven to be effective. So, for example, wavelengths between 630 and 670 nanometers is a really strong peak. And then again, between 800 and 880 nanometers. But interestingly, there's a range in between that has really shown almost zero impact on cellular function, roughly between 700 to 730 nanometers. So that's why it's, as Scott mentioned, it's critical that you're using the correct wavelengths. It's kind of fascinating how that works, but mm-hmm. they've narrowed down to where there is specific wavelengths that really boost that cytochrome C oxidase enzyme.
Fascinating. So now, is this the type of thing where I live in Florida. Is this the type of thing where I could just go out at a certain time of the day and kind of expose myself to this? Or is it a certain time of the day, or is it available all the time when the sun is out? Obviously, it's a consideration for people who don't have the sun all the time. But, is this something we could expose ourselves to naturally?
You certainly get some of this in natural sunlight, and I would argue that with the correct intensity of light in a photobiomodulation device, you're really going to produce a heightened benefit that is really difficult to replicate with sunlight unless you're just almost outside all the time.
Sure.
Yeah. So you're technically getting those wavelengths. It's just a if you reverse engineer that, those specific wavelengths from the natural sunlight, it's a relatively small dosage, somewhat clinically insignificant dosage, unless you're in the sun a really long time. And so most of us just either don't have the time or we're a little bit more concerned about, really prolonged exposure to UV rays maybe, potentially. So, there's other things to consider, but it really kind of comes down to that dosage of those specific wavelengths.
Awesome.
Sun's great if you can get enough of it within the right time windows, but probably a little bit hard to this is another hack that you can use if you can't
just
afford
to accelerate. Absolutely, man. Yeah. I mean, there's so many countries in the world that don't get sunlight all the time, right? Bad mm-hmm. days, there's countries all around Northern Europe that get basically nothing. Have you guys looked into I'm sure you have, the science of what the negative effects of too much sunlight or UV lights would be, and obviously why your product may not expose people to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a common question that people have. So our devices actually don't deliver any UV rays, so you won't get a tan from them. There's no danger from, kind of burning in that sense if you're, fair skinned, for example. But I would argue that overall some of the hype regarding negative effects of UV from sunlight has been kind of overplayed, and I think we're kind of, as a society, I think we're starting to come back to that a little bit and realizing how important it is to get sunlight. And I think as you obviously it's not good if you've never been exposed, you're basically inside all the time, and then you try 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon, well, of course you're going to burn.
Sure.
But if you're in the sunlight, particularly in the morning and evening hours where there's not a whole lot of UV, you can really get your body conditioned. And I would argue as our ancestors, basically lived in sunlight all the time, and skin cancer wasn't a big problem 200 years ago.
Right. So obviously you guys are in the light industry. So I'm curious to hear what kind of perpetuated the paradigm of, well, the sunlight is bad for you, don't go out in the sun, because obviously we're now making a shift away from it. Do you have a theory as to why people started to go down that path and obviously how you've overcome it?
That's a great question. I'm not sure that I can really put my finger on that accurately, but I would say
What are the big misconceptions, right? Why do people think that, where's their head going wrong, and how can we teach them that light exposure is correct? Because ultimately you saying, hey, my product is great and it's safe is one thing, but actually having a theory as to why, people are misled is probably important.
Yeah, I would argue some of it probably comes down to greed and financial implications. If you look at anything in the kind of health and food industry, for example, you look at some of the things that we were told by the Heart Association, for example, around trans fats, and so we were all told to use margarine and stuff like that, and that was the healthy option. And well,
smart
now we know
marketers,
that's,
right?
You're right. So now we know that's total garbage. Yep. And I think the same thing unfortunately happened regarding sunlight. You need to use sunscreen, and now they've actually shown that for people that there's actually not a correlation between getting sunburn and getting skin cancer, but there is correlation with using sunscreen and getting skin cancer. So I think some of the kind of junk science that was fed to us as a society early on is beginning to get the light shined on it.
Yeah, awesome, man. So
was that a pun? Was that
no pun intended?
Yeah, exactly. So Justin, tell me a little bit about your background, man. Like, I want to hear about your engineering background and then how you're kind of progressing into this. Obviously you told me about your wife, but I'm going to guess this didn't come about overnight where you're just like, hey, I'm going to throw out a red light, product. I'd like to hear about the R&D process because, ultimately I think of biohacking a lot of things on a day-to-day basis, but I don't just dive right in to be like, hey, let's develop this business, this successful business around it. So I'd like to hear about, what the path you traveled was.
Sure. Well, my background is in engineering, so I was the type of student that my favorite classes were physics and calculus, and I was very competitive and loved digging into that stuff. So, I love learning. I'm not as much of a, Scott has more of the biology background.
Right.
But I was fascinated to really start digging into light and the different wavelengths and the different effects that they have, and we haven't really got into the intensity, for example, but that's a huge component that was very fascinating to me. It comes down to nuts and bolts of the science and the physics of it. So, when I first started learning about it, I found that most of the clinical research pointed to specific wavelengths, but also intensity and amount of energy delivered. So, for example, most studies show a minimum amount of energy delivered at least 5 joules per square centimeter. And some of the research that is focused more on deeper tissue actually goes upwards of 60 joules. But anyways, to kind of back into that, so when my wife first approached me, one of the things that she had come across online was using infrared heat lamps mm-hmm. for this therapy. And obviously they produce red light and they also give off a fair amount of heat and so forth. I basically went to a local hardware store and picked up 250-watt heat lamps and some brooder bulb cases for them and basically rigged up a system of originally just 4 of these bulbs that were basically 1,000 watts. And as you can imagine, we're putting out a ton of heat and it turned like the whole bathroom red type thing. And at first my wife was pretty thrilled with it. But then she wanted to have the capability of doing both her front and her backside at the same time. So then we did another kind of rig of 4 of these. And by now, as you can imagine, we're like significantly raising the temperature of, an entire room,
sure,
as well as like tripping circuit breakers and so forth. And so she was pretty pumped, but then she really didn't feel like she was getting the same benefits that she was from the specific wavelength. So after kind of digging into the science of it a little bit, I discovered that, these heat lamps, while they certainly do deliver some of these beneficial wavelengths, it's in the neighborhood of 2 to 4% of the total energy that's delivered, because they have kind of a wide range of wavelengths, including some of the mid and far infrared, which is why they deliver so much heat. So that's when I really started to dig into the science, and I found that from the initial research on photobiomodulation, the focus was really originally on LLLT, or low-level laser therapy. And then within the past 15 to 20 years, kind of starting with some of the research that NASA had conducted using LEDs, they determined that LEDs were just as effective. And which made sense to me, and the research really demonstrated this, is your skin or your body cells don't really care what type of technology is creating the photons. They just care about the intensity,
sure,
and the wavelength. So it made a lot of sense to me. So, it's one of those things where I love to understand how things work. And once I kind of wrapped my head around that, then we really started to focus on how to design it. And by this time, Scott was pretty pumped with the fact that there is really nothing else on the market like this, whereas everything else out there was really a small handheld device. So he could really see a huge opportunity, a huge market for us.
Yeah, and as Justin mentioned, Ben, my background's in biology and chemistry, and then I spent really my entire career in the medical device space with companies like Medtronic. So think heart stents and pacemakers and whatnot. Yep. And the first thing when you're operating those companies, the first thing you typically do when you look at a new therapeutic arena is figure out, is there any clinical data to support this type,
sure,
of therapy? And to our surprise, Justin and our surprise, as well as our wives, when you start digging into the science of photobiomodulation, it was actually quite overwhelming. I was shocked at how much published literature there really is specific to this science of light therapy or photobiomodulation. Because at first glance, I imagine most of your listeners are probably thinking, this sounds kind of woo-woo. It sounds kind of funky. But I would just encourage everyone, if they're really, I know your audience is pretty, they're pretty scientific. They like, yep, they like to understand the nature of how this stuff works. Dig into the clinical data. We've got a lot of stuff on our site. You can always do PubMed searches as well. But it's pretty fascinating it was a pretty fascinating experience to learn that there's this whole sort of almost untapped arena when it comes to light therapy. But then when you consider that, as well as what you need to receive a clinically relevant dose based on published literature, it kind of came down to 3 things. It was, as Justin mentioned, the wavelength is one, which we kind of cover that. The intensity, or the amount of joules that you're receiving, and then really the total treatment area. And there's a lot of light therapy devices on the market right now that are really small handheld devices that were that are kind of being marketed and promoted for skin, reduce wrinkles and reduce scars and stuff like that. And so, if we rewind the clock, we sort of thought, is there anything else that can treat your entire body?
Right.
And then beyond that, is there anything that you can treat your entire body in a convenient way? ideally at home, potentially at a gym or something like that, but ideally at home. And so there was really nothing else on the market. And then that's when, you know, Justin with his engineering mind kind of went to town on what theoretically what could ideally work in a very convenient fashion that sort of solved for those three core issues.
So the first question that comes to mind, I've got a couple, but the first one that comes to mind is, let's say, first I'd like you to walk me through the protocol. What does it look like? What is the recommended amount of time? And then what am I looking at as far as sustainability of it? Is it a 30-minute benefit? Is it an immediate benefit? Is it a 24-hour or a long-term benefit? And is it a cumulative thing where, you know, if I do it continuously over 3 months, is it going to get better and improve efficacy? And is there some type of tangible long-term benefit? You know, am I going to lose fat? Am I going to increase my testosterone? Like, what is the research saying as far as what's going on with that stuff?
Sure. Well, there's a little bit of both in terms of immediate benefits and long-term benefits. So one of the challenges that we faced early on with the skin health benefits, you know, with most of the studies that are done, they're doing the treatments over 8 to 12 weeks before people are seeing the benefits in terms of reduced wrinkles and the kind of skin health improvement. I mean, some people notice benefits sooner than that. But that was definitely a challenge that we faced early on. But honestly, once we got a lot more exposure in the kind of biohacking community, we realized that there's deeper tissue benefits that people notice right away. The testosterone benefits, the increased blood flow, circulation, muscle recovery, cognitive benefits, reducing stress, people sleeping better. I mean, if you read through the reviews tab on our website, I mean, it literally blows you away. It's one of my favorite things about doing this, honestly, is the reviews that we get from people and the wide range of benefits that people see that you wouldn't expect. But as far as the protocol, what I personally do is, and what I recommend is about a 10-minute treatment. About 6 to 8 inches away from our device per treatment area. We have a couple different size options, including our what we call our max device, where you can basically treat the whole front of your body in one treatment. So, you know, kind of depending on people's schedules, you know, ideally they get a treatment in every day. And there are some benefits that you would feel, you know, immediately or that day in terms of, as I mentioned, reducing stress, overall energy, reducing fatigue, reducing inflammation in joints. It's a pretty long list. But then there also is the long-term benefits that I think for overall health that it's probably yet untapped really as far as what those benefits are. Some of them that we are aware of is, of course, collagen production, where you see that in the skin health for sure.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, Justin kind of hinted at this, you know, when he answered that question. But a lot of our customers that are using our devices for, you know, muscle recovery, reducing joint pain, enhanced testosterone, those are things that they typically feel, you know, pretty quickly thereafter. Like as an example, Dr. Mercola, who I imagine most of your audience is probably familiar with, he uses our largest device, and has mentioned that, you know, on his weight training days, he notices a significant improvement in the reduction of lactic acid and, you know, further enhancing his muscle recovery, even specifically to like when he really works his legs hard, for example. And so some of the benefits you'll notice right away. Others are going to take a little bit more time, you know, specific to skin health. As an example, if you're trying to, you know, reduce some stretch marks or something like that, that may be. Sure. That may take some consistent usage, but some of that is, you know, in full transparency, some of that's just because we look at that stuff every day too. So it's a little bit harder to notice the changes.
Of course.
But kind of going back to your initial question about sort of the treatment algorithm or like, how do you actually use this stuff? Dosage is really important. And so Justin mentioned for most areas, we typically recommend about 6 to 8 inches from our device for about 8 to 10 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer depending on what you're trying to treat. But you're getting a pretty clinically relevant or clinically significant dose of energy at that distance over that amount of time. And if you kind of correlate that to clinical data, like one of the studies that, you know, we've got here up on our end right now is specific to muscle thickness. And, you know, this was a double block. This was actually a pretty well done study for light therapy. But, you know, double blind placebo controlled study in which the participants that were treated with red and near infrared light experienced 50% more muscle thickness using this type of therapy with 60 joules of energy. So that's the important thing, is, you know, Justin mentioned earlier, the number of joules that you're receiving, or the total energy dosage, is pretty important when it comes to deeper tissue issues like that.
So, man, this is awesome. You got, I mean, you're getting a lot of amazing reviews. You're getting, you know, a lot of claims. Ultimately, are you guys doing anything to dig into the actual physiology as to why these things are happening? Or do you think it's just a cellular energetic thing? We're improving the efficacy of ATP production, which obviously in most people is going to be substantially limited. Most people's mitochondria are usually pretty poorly functioning. So is it exclusively a result of upgrading the mitochondrial performance?
I think that's the basis of it. We're fortunate to have Dr. Michael Hamblin on our advisory board, who's a renowned researcher at Harvard in the field of photobiomodulation. He himself has participated in over 300 published studies, and we've obviously got a chance to pick his brain pretty well on this. And, you know, he can go as deep as you want to in terms of, you know, kind of the theories of the biological benefits. But ultimately, you know, in terms of that most of us understand, it's basically increasing that rate of cellular respiration, increasing cellular function, getting it back to, you know, a healthy function that has a wide range of benefits. You know, I think the main thing is, you know, if you have doubts, as Scott mentioned, you know, check out the clinical data. You know, another study that's pretty impressive was done on nearly 400 collegiate athletes, and that were specifically in sports. And when they received an injury or were that caused them to miss time, you know, basically time off the playing field, they divided the group into two groups, half of which received the photobiomodulation treatment, coincidentally also at the same 60 joules, which, by the way, takes 10 minutes with our devices. Anyway, so this group that used the treatment, their recovery time to when they were back on the field was cut in half. So whereas the group that didn't receive the standard treatment, they were back on the field in approximately 20 days, whereas the group that received the therapy were back on the field in less than 10.
So to be honest, that was my greatest interest in your product, man, is injury recovery. Because, you know, cellular energetics is obviously important. My belief is if you're training properly, you're training hard, hopefully your mitochondria are functioning relatively well. You know, my demographic, usually relatively healthy guys. But injury recovery, man, we're training so hard, there's always bumps and bruises, there's always inflammation, and I know we know that's going to be influencing, you know, the cellular energetics and the mitochondria. So that's why I first kind of caught ear of what you're doing. I was like, this sounds very, very fascinating. And even the idea of recovering between workouts, like if I know I got to train legs twice in 4 days, throwing this on there, potentially increasing ATP production, potentially improving my ability to recover, that sounds like something I would definitely like to dig into and try.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely going to be becoming more mainstream. I'm convinced of it. We've been honored to have Devon Kennard added to kind of a team of professional athletes that uses our device. He was introduced to it by a local chiropractor or functional medicine doctor that he took treatments with in the off season, and just basically fell in love with the treatment and how it made him feel and the recovery. And as you know, like bodybuilders, football players, bodies really take a beating.
Yep.
And so for the reasons you've mentioned, I mean, I think it's something that has broad application for a lot of people that, you know, are interested in peak performance and, you know, performing at their best all the time.
Yeah. And on that note, real quick, Ben, Devon is a middle linebacker for the New York Giants, if those aren't familiar with him. But I'll give a shout out to Dr. Toma in Phoenix. He's he's on the cutting edge of a lot of these types of therapies, but a great guy. And that's where Devon was being treated. But we asked a similar question that you asked us to Dr. Hamblin, who Justin mentioned earlier, that's on our scientific advisory board. Why is there so much science? You know, are you seeing changes with respect to the amount of clinical interest and studies that are being done? And he said overwhelmingly yes, because there is a lot of interest in in such a wide variety of capacities, from cognitive function to enhanced testosterone to muscle recovery, reducing joint pain, et cetera. There's a lot more interest being and a lot more studies being done on this. You know, on a pretty consistent basis now. But I would say if for those that are listening, probably the vast majority of research with respect to photobiomodulation right now is on kind of similar topics that we've been discussing. There's a ton of it on muscle recovery, mm-hmm. a ton of it on reducing joint pain and arthritis, a ton of it on enhancing, skin health. So that's probably where most of it resides, which is pretty cool. All things that we probably all like to see enhanced.
Hell yeah, absolutely, and especially if it's a natural bump, right? So my question then is, what was NASA researching? You said there was a few studies by NASA. What were they looking at it for?
Well, interestingly, as you can imagine, astronauts facing unique challenges being in space, separated from gravity.
Yep.
And originally, actually, they were looking at using LEDs to grow plants in space. And then somehow that morphed into what would happen if we use this light therapy on astronauts. And what they discovered, it was quite effective at reducing the effects of being in outer space in terms of muscle loss and bone loss, bone mass loss, and those sorts of things. And so really what that turned into, there's a company called QDI that developed kind of one of the original devices using LEDs. It's a small handheld device that ended up being deployed with special forces, and they were using it like in submarines as well. There's some pretty impressive studies on how it was used to recover for people that had cuts and abrasions and superficial wounds, essentially proving that it cut the recovery time down in half as far as those healing. So that's some of the original research that was conducted back in the early 90s. And since then, there's been obviously, tons, literally hundreds of research studies since then. That's some of the early research that was kind of what drove that.
Fascinating, man. What I'm envisioning right now is I just finished my hardest leg workout. I'm walking into a room in my gym, standing there for 6 to 10 minutes. Because, dude, you finish a hard workout, you're gassed, you're bagged. Is that what people are doing? Is it more of a pre-workout protocol, or is it more of a post-workout thing from your experience, or is it both?
It really can be both. Interestingly, there's studies that show benefits from both a pre-workout. It kind of works as a warm-up, if you will, increasing the blood flow. It's kind of like giving.
But it's not actually heating them up, right? It's just warming up from an internal perspective.
Yeah, exactly. When it does increase blood flow, the heat that's delivered is very minimal. I mean, it's very slight warmth. And there's benefits there in terms of peak performance. I would say probably most of our customers are using it as a recovery, but we actually have some that use it before and after, kind of double up on it.
Cool. Now, so go ahead. Yes, go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say, the sort of the picture that you just painted there for your, we're seeing that across the country right now with a lot of, it's typically gyms that are a lot more on the cutting edge, but. Yeah. Justin just recently designed a custom setup for one of our practitioners that incorporates four of our largest devices. So it literally, you walk into this thing and it's a walk-in sort of light therapy capsule, if you will. And so we're seeing that type of interest across the country right now with some of those cutting edge gyms like you guys.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I'm turning my gym into basically a big biohacking center. I've got saunas, and I'm trying to get some lights and cold therapy and cryosaunas and doing whatever I can, earthing mats and stuff, doing whatever I can to give myself, my athletes and my clients an edge. So it's certainly something that I'm envisioning, sitting in the infrared sauna, getting near infrared lights shone at me. I actually in my sauna right now have an infrared light, but I don't know that it's near. I actually think it's more likely to be far. That seems to be the standard in the industry, right?
Sure. That's typically what it is. Some do have near and mid infrared wavelengths, kind of in that IRB spectrum. And even if it is, quite honestly, even if it is near infrared, as I mentioned, since it's such a narrow bandwidth that really have proven to have these cellular benefits, it's important to get a device that's really geared specifically for that.
So you guys have specifically isolated those wavelengths?
Yes, exactly. So I mentioned the kind of those ranges between 630 and 670. Our device, we use 660 nanometers, primarily because there's just overwhelming amount of evidence pointing to that wavelength as being very beneficial. And then for our near infrared wavelength that we use is 850 nanometers. And the main difference with that is the near infrared wavelengths have a little bit better depth of penetration. So whereas the red wavelengths are, I would say, are optimized for skin health in the upper skin tissues, the near infrared wavelengths can penetrate that more easily. So you get a deeper benefit for muscle recovery, joint health, reducing inflammation, those sorts of things. So specifically some of the studies that we previously referenced in terms of performance or recovery or even the on the collegiate athletes, all those were in that near infrared wavelength spectrum.
Yeah, and Ben, for your listeners that are kind of are digging this sort of stuff and like, this sounds interesting, I kind of want to try it, I would encourage everyone, look for those two things. If you're looking at devices that are on the market, look for wavelength, and then which is usually pretty easy to solve for, but then also intensity. So that irradiance or photon flux, as Justin mentioned, that's really important, because if you're using a device that's underpowered, you know, similar to filling up a water jug with a dripping faucet, it's going to take forever, and right. No one has the time for that sort of stuff. But just it's those two things, and it's the intensity or the irradiance that is usually hardest to find with most manufacturers. A lot of them just
do people know, like, what if someone just throw, like, is there a way to define or definitively know, like, hey, I know this is the right wavelength, other than what they write on the package, which is obviously subjective?
Yeah, I mean, the wavelength, like I said, most companies will at least publish that. But what we've found, unfortunately, is there are a lot of the companies in the market that choose, for whatever reason, to not publish the intensity of the light. So the correct wavelengths, or the correct units for that, identifying that, is in milliwatts per square centimeter. So if you look at the clinical research, they'll talk about this. Most of them are in the 50 to 100 milliwatts per square centimeter, which is basically the rate of energy delivery. And from that, you can calculate the total energy delivered over a period of time. So, for example, 100 milliwatts per square centimeter works out to about 6 joules per square centimeter per minute. So at 6 joules per minute times 10 minutes, that's where you come to the 60 joules that we mentioned in those studies and that our devices deliver.
Yeah. Amazing. What's been the biggest pushback you guys have received from people, people maybe objecting to your product?
I think most of it is just education. Mm-hmm. You know, I think once people start to dig into the science, I mean, they don't have to take our word for it. You know, all of the articles on our site link to published research. So I think once people start digging into that, it's pretty easy for them to convince themselves. So I think education has been our biggest hurdle. Part of the struggle there to overcome that is we do offer a 60-day return policy on all of our devices. So if someone's kind of on the fence, sometimes that helps people have a peace of mind that, hey, if I try it, I can use it for a full 2 months. And if I'm not satisfied, I can send it back for a full refund. That's obviously it's something that we've done from the very beginning, but I think it's pretty rare in the industry. Most companies, you know, it's much shorter than that, and sometimes they even combine it with like a restocking fee if you want to return it.
So, yeah, and that, to Justin's point, I mean, education or just overall awareness of the science of light therapy or more particular, photobiomodulation, that is our largest hurdle. But with those that are open-minded and are willing to kind of like look at this from an open mind, look at the science, look at the clinical data, we're in kind of a fortunate spot, to be honest, because there's so much of it that's totally available. It's not like we're creating this from scratch, by no means. So if you've got an open mind and are willing to kind of peel back the layers, there's a ton of evidence that suggests this therapy really works.
So you guys basically are just using the two wavelengths in your lights, or is it a full spectrum as well?
We are using just those specific wavelengths, and the reason for that is those specific ranges have been proven to be the most mm-hmm. beneficial. Sure. So, well, you could certainly argue that there's benefits from other wavelengths. I would argue that there's an overwhelming amount of evidence that show that these are, if not the most effective, are among the most effective wavelengths. And so we basically designed our device backed on the research and based on the research. And obviously having, Dr. Hamblin on board has given us some, a unique access to, one of the greatest minds in the field to pick his brain on it. But it basically comes down to optimal wavelengths that produce the cellular response and benefits that we're looking for.
Yeah, and with our products, like specifically, we've got 3 different sizes. And then also 3 different wavelength options, so to speak. And so
within one unit, or you can choose different ones?
Within one unit.
Okay.
So 3 different sizes. So basically 9 total options, which we try not to be too confusing, but 3 different sizes. And then within each size, you've got red light at 660 nanometers. You've got all near infrared at 850 nanometers, or a combination, a 50-50 combination of both wavelengths. that latter option, that third option, is our most popular by far, primarily because of the utility. Most people that are investing in a device want it for a wide variety of reasons. They may, you know, their primary concern may be, you know, muscle recovery, but they're like, you know, hey, I kind of don't mind reducing my, you know, some of my stretch marks or something like that too. So that combination of red and near infrared light tends to be the most popular. But there are those different options that people can consider.
Cool. So Justin, just revisit the exact specs of the 600 wavelength compared to the 800 wavelength, just for the listeners, so they have that fresh in their mind.
Sure. So 660 nanometers from a cellular benefit standpoint is really identical in terms of the boost to cytochrome C oxidase as the 850 nanometers. The main difference is the absorption rate. The 850 has a much lower absorption, especially in the skin tissue. So you get a depth of penetration that far exceeds that of red light. You know, as we mentioned a few times, the intensity is the really the critical component. You know, the units of milliwatts per square centimeter is called either irradiance or photon flux. And then if you from that, you can calculate the total energy delivered in joules.
Awesome. So, man, what's the most ideal circumstance? I want to be superhuman. I want to perform on my absolute best, recover absolutely as fast as possible. I want as much mitochondria. Give me the exact ideal protocol for me.
I would recommend our Combo Max unit. It's about 4.5 feet tall by 15 inches wide. So okay. You can basically get a full body treatment one side. I do 10 minutes a day, front and back. And you're really going to optimize.
So 10 and 10?
Yep, 10 and 10. And that's what many other people that are love our devices, whether it's Ben Greenfield or Aubrey Marcus or Dr. Mercola, that's the most common device and protocol that we've seen the most success with.
In our devices, that largest one, even though the dimensions are about, you know, like Justin mentioned, about 4.5 feet tall by about 16 inches wide, we have lenses in our 120 degree lenses in our LEDs. So you actually get a little bit more of a thermal spread than the actual dimensions of the device. And so, even though it's 4.5 feet tall, I'm personally about 5'10". When it hangs from my door. Justin's got a little bit more of an engineering setup at his house, but ours is designed, it hangs from the door, you know, kind of designed the original way. And I just, you know, I'm 5'10". It treats from my head to just above my ankle. You know, and I stand in front of that for about 10 minutes or so, ideally on a daily basis. So that's kind of the ideal protocol.
So it's obviously cool to put this on your face.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And a common question we get is, you know, what about your eyes? Is it, you know, because it's very bright. Interestingly, there's actually a significant amount of research showing benefits for eye health. And, you know, as with most cells in our body, our retinas have mitochondria as well. And they've actually shown that with these specific wavelengths, you can actually reverse damage to mitochondrial health in your retinas and boost retinal function. So it is bright, especially if you get the all red variant. But even with that, you can basically start with your eyes closed and then gradually open your eyes as they kind of get accustomed to the brightness. So that's something we've obviously discussed with Dr. Hamblin, but there's definitely research supporting benefits there as well.
Yeah, and it comes up quite a bit when people first pop that baby on. It is intense, the light. I mean, we're used to it now where we can. I mean, I don't mind, you know, keeping my eyes wide open from the very get go, but it definitely is intense. But just, you know, to share an anecdotal story, my wife has had glasses since, gosh, she was younger, and ever since, you know, she's been using the device now for, oh, I don't know, two, almost 3 years probably now. And every annual checkup with her eye doctor, her vision is improving for the first time ever.
Wow.
With every sequential check-in. So that's anecdotal, but as Justin mentioned, there's a ton of clinical evidence that suggests that it helps with vision. So we always try, you know, when we get that question from our customers, it's like, well, if you can, try to just ease into it and keep your eyes open, even if it's later on in the treatment, because it is helping, you know, with vision.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'm picturing all these guys walking around, you know, questioning, should I be wearing my tanning bed goggles in there?
Yeah.
Everybody walking around with the tan around their eyes.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome, man. Well, I'll tell you what, this is exciting stuff. So what's on the radar for you guys? Do you have some new research you're digging into, or is it just like, oh, we want to blow this thing up? Or is there a next level to your product development?
Sure. I mean, the big focus right now, honestly, is keeping up with demand. it's been our biggest challenge, you know, over the past 6 to 12 months. And you know, our, as one of our, from a marketing standpoint, our challenge
tough
is just educating.
Right?
Yeah, it's, but I mean, it is. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but it's definitely can be a problem. So we're fortunate to be caught up on inventory. We've actually been kind of in a backlog state for quite a while, but we've finally started to kind of catch up with demand and realize, this really is going to explode. So
and
we kind of keep thinking, can it really stay at this pace or keep accelerating, but it just keeps exploding. So that's probably one of our challenges for sure.
Yeah, and we've intentionally, you know, self-funded the business and tried to actually do things, ironically, that don't necessarily scale right away. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as an example, we do all the final assembly here in Minneapolis for our devices, which is probably not typical for a typical manufacturer, especially in kind of the medical technology world. So those are just some of the small touches that we try to do in order to deliver a really high quality product that we feel 100% confident behind. But I know Justin's cooking up some pretty cool stuff that we'll see on the horizon at some point in the future. But there is, on that note, there is a lot of interest, as I mentioned before, with gyms and kind of in this broader fitness capacity for, you know, total 360 full body, you know, light therapy. And there's some beds on the market that are pretty good, maybe a little, I would argue, a little bit underpowered, but are decent, but they're just so damn expensive.
Right.
I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is kind of mind blowing. So, you know, there is a lot of interest from going broader with this kind of 360 full body type of therapy in a relatively, you know, economical fashion. And so that's one of our goals moving forward.
The only question outstanding for me, man, is how long do they last? Is there like a light bulb? Are they going to burn out?
Great question. So that's one of the great things about LEDs, and perhaps one of the reasons why this technology hasn't taken off is just from a financial standpoint. It's not like a drug that, you know, the medical companies can sell you over and over and over again. With an LED light like this, the LEDs are rated for 50,000 hours. So if you used it the equivalent in a professional setting of 40 hours a week, it's going to last nearly 20 years. So we offer a two-year warranty. As I mentioned, we have the 60-day return policy. So it's really something that's intended to last for a very long time. So you definitely don't have to worry about, you know, replacing bulbs every other year or something like that, which is, you know, something that's quite common in terms of, you know, if you were to have the space or budget for like a converted tanning bed, for example, with the fluorescent tubes. Mm-hmm. Besides being much lower powered, you're going to have a lot more maintenance, a lot higher power draw with something like that as well.
Awesome. One final question for both of you guys. What else are you doing to biohack your life? What's your favorite biohack other than obviously photobiomodulation?
My favorite biohack, I would have to say, is getting early morning sunlight, getting outside, being grounded, watching the sunrise with my wife. It's a great way to start the day. And if it's at all possible to add into your daily routine, I would highly recommend it.
Dude, I do it every day morning with my kids.
That's awesome. I would say my biohack, I tend to, as of lately anyway, I tend to be, following a lot of Art Devaney's work. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
Yep.
In fact, it was funny. I was just reading one of his posts on Facebook last night where Sean Phillips of, mm-hmm. you know, of the EAS
sure,
fame
yeah.
was commenting on a lot of his stuff. So it's like Art's work is, I think he's somewhat known, but I think it's starting to get out there. But I'm kind of following some of his stuff, you know, eating twice a day. Some of his workout routines are a little bit interesting in terms of, trying to emphasize autophagy at a cellular level. So I kind of, tend to be kind of digging into that a little bit to see,
Man, it's really fascinating. So I'm on this quest now that I haven't retired as a professional bodybuilder. I'm on this quest now to live to be 125, and autophagy is a big thing. I'm trying to lose 100 pounds of muscle, right? So it's a very interesting conversation to have. Like, how can you actually get your body to, you know, be way more healthy as well as catabolize a tremendous amount of muscle you've been accumulating for the last 20 years? So I'm definitely interested. I'll look a little bit deeper into Art Devaney.
He would probably totally dig a podcast episode with him. That'd be probably a fascinating conversation.
Cool.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I really appreciate your time. You're doing awesome stuff, and keep me posted on the next developments, because, you know, I'm always looking to be, I'm looking to live forever, man.
That's
excellent.
Right.
You bet. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Join us on BenPokulski.com to learn the cutting edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.